Many real estate agents across Australia confidently refer Property Insurance Plus to their clients as they recognise the price and benefit value of their policy combined with the client-focused service they deliver. They offer a comprehensive building and landlord insurance facility and have formed a powerhouse to present the very best in investment property insurance. Contact PIP today to find out more.
Welcome to the PM Collective, a dynamic hub designed to empower business owners, property managers, and BDMs to excel in their careers. Through access to intimate conversations, cutting-edge video training, mental health support, and unparalleled motivation, our community is the ultimate destination for individuals seeking to elevate their professional lives to new heights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our next conversation on our weekly podcast, The Art of Property Management. So today's podcast is with the lovely Marjan from MK Advisory. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Now, have you done a podcast before?
I have. This is my second one.
Fantastic. What was the topic for your first one?
That was around turning your pain into power and very much a podcast for women in business, women in colour in business.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Yeah.
And today I've briefly spoken to you about how this one is for property managers, but we find that these podcasts are so helpful for the property management industry, and I get beautiful feedback from so many people. And today's topic I know is going to be one that is going to resonate with so many people because we are talking about multi-generational workplaces, which is a hot topic at the moment with so many people I speak to. And I'm really excited to get into it because it's a really, it's just a fascinating time we are in with managing so many different types of people and just the world in general and the opinions of the world. It's just such an interesting topic. But before we get into it, I'd love for you to share with everyone that's listening today a little bit about you, your background, and where you are now.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Ash. So I have recently moved to Perth from Canberra and have largely been working with the federal government on HR and people type of strategies. So that varies from leadership and career coaching to facilitating kind of team planning workshops, creating workforce strategies and people strategies, and also really thinking about the people that we manage and work with. In doing that, very much think about it from a strengths perspective. So really understanding the strengths of the people that you work with and how you can kind of work in harmony. But so people, culture, behavior change, that's all my kind of thing. And post-COVID, we are in such an interesting time. And, you know, managers, executives from all types of industries are so keen to better understand how they can manage their people. So love the space. It's never a dull moment. No 2 days are the same because you're dealing with people.
Yeah, and the thing with multi-generations or like, so I guess the different generations is that they have, like, this is my perception, that there is very distinctive personality traits in different ages of people. Is that like a fair comment to say, or is that a bit of a...
Great question, because I think whilst there are the generalizations around the five different generations, you know, with regards to their priorities, their communication styles, you know, how they embrace change and innovation, I think, there's a big risk in making assumptions as well, because, I mean, I personally am in Gen Y and I am a dinosaur when it comes to digital and tech, right? And so I'm quite an outlier and I'm not your kind of typical. So when people expect that I'm going to come in and just be this pro when it comes to creating a PowerPoint presentation and all the rest, you know, that's quite limiting for me because I'm probably one of the late adopters of digital. And that's also the case when you do look at the aging workforce and when you do look at the boomers and the maturists, you know, there's this assumption that they aren't adopters of technology. But then, you know, there'll be the one that comes out and has a TikTok account and is teaching you how to do it. So I think, yes, take it with a grain of salt. the kind of perceptions and the attitudes. It is a good way of understanding the context that people have been raised in and the influences, the global influences, the events in life that have probably shaped, you know, their personalities and their preferences when it comes to work. But I think at the same time, there's so much more opportunity in the diversity of the generations than there are kind of faults.
Yeah, and I think that's how I'd like everyone who's listening to look at it as well. The opportunities within your business to have a diverse range of different generations and personalities in the office. Look at it as a positive and don't look at the negative things. So I think that that's where I would like people to get the most out of any frustrations, I guess, that they may have. So just for those that maybe, let's just talk about the extreme ends of the generations. Mm-hmm. The older end, that would be the baby boomers. Is that the...
Yeah, the baby boomers, and we're starting to have the traditionalists kind of, you know, exit the workforce. But your baby boomers are typically aged around 57 to 77. And yes, at the moment, they probably comprise about 33% of the workforce. So I guess some typical kind of experiences that they were raised in, you know, it was Cold War, you know, there was kind of, they were very much family oriented, and, you know, their aspiration was very much around that job security. So they're the kind of, the baby boomers are probably the eldest generation that we've got in the workforce at the moment.
And they're probably the loyal long-term employees. Would that be a thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So for them, their attitude towards their career, their jobs are for life. So they're very loyal to their careers. And you know, for them, they kind of look at, you know, multiple kind of jobs within the one career and don't really look outside of that. So yes, you can absolutely expect loyalty from your boomers.
And then they would be expecting from an employer, like, so the stability of, of a workplace, they're probably, and this is generalizing, of course, but they're generally probably not as money driven, but then it's more important for them to have a stable job.
Yeah, absolutely. For them, it's the stability and the security of the job. With respects to, I guess, the communication, they really like scheduled meetings. They're not really into the impromptu and the ad hoc, you know, and their preference is face-to-face on a whole. So which is quite, you know, different to the way we're evolving at the moment. And so, yeah, for them, even learning has very much been in the classroom and has been, you know, in kind of education institutions. So definitely they're kind of the common traits that you'd expect from them.
Okay, let's go to then the other end, which is, something else?
Gen Z. So Gen Z is the other end, Generation Z, which are typically the people born after, I guess, yeah, so they're the ones that are aged 12 to 25, and they're the ones that are entering the workforce at the moment. So for them, work-life balance is very important, and work needs to align to their life purpose. So they're very much around making sure that there is that integration between work and life.
Is it just that it's like, I know that COVID has escalated that whole work-life balance. Do you even wonder what, if we didn't have COVID, like, would we still have people wanting that integration of the work-life balance? Like, isn't it amazing the way the world works and the way that COVID has happened at the sort of the same time? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, so COVID was the catalyst for many things, but what it really did was it changed the way we work, essentially. And you know, all of these preferences of all of these generations literally went out the window overnight because we were forced to work from a particular location in a particular way using particular tools. And you know what? We made it work, right? And so I think post-COVID, people have really started to see the art of the possible. And yes, whilst work-life balance has become more of a topical, I guess, point of discussion, it really does come down to, I think, the boundaries that people are setting. Like, I think it's blurred the line between home and work particularly, you know, if you do work from home for most of your week. But I think that's where discipline really comes in. And a lot of that falls back to the individual and managing expectations.
Yeah. So we've got the 12 to 25, which is the Gen Z, which is definitely, like you mentioned, wanting to have like a purpose in the business. So they definitely, want to understand the business's values and things like that. So here's the problem. We've got generally the baby boomers who own businesses, like the managers in some sense, with their own views on the world, now trying to understand the other end. Both ends are right, but that's where this imbalance is coming from. So if you're listening and you are a baby boomer and you do have these Gen Zs in the business, then this is where the tricky part I find is coming into play, because it's fine. I guess I'm really torn, and I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm sure there's other people that think like I think. Well, hopefully there is, and I'm not the only person. But it feels sometimes like that we are the ones that have to accommodate. Yet I really struggle and sort of sometimes think to myself, well, why can't the other end accommodate? You know, I am stubborn, and I know I am, but I guess that's what I honestly feel like. Like, why do I have to mold in with this? Or is it just, Ash, you're being stubborn, you've got to get with the times?
No, it's a really great observation. And, you know, there has been commentary around newer generations being a bit more entitled when it comes to the workplace. And look, right now, when we look at the, you know, labour market, it is an employee's market. So I think that really does mean that we need to compromise a bit more, because attracting and retaining good talent is hard at the moment. So I think noting that context, you know, we do need to really ensure that we're offering a very compelling employee value proposition. And I think attracting that Generation Z, I mean, you know, they like to work a lot, and, you know, they're the ones that are very much into the digital and the tech, which very much is the future of business, right? So it's tough, because I think there's a lot that we can learn from them around how to potentially be more sophisticated, how to be using more, I guess, digitally enabled tools to be more efficient and all of that. But I do think it's reasonable to also expect them to come to the party. And I think a lot of that really just comes to really just being open and honest. I mean, Gen Zs appreciate collaborative workplace environments. So I think, you know, when you are looking at developing values for your business, or when you are looking at, you know, coming up with a business strategy, invite them into the conversation, right? And I think a lot of that is very much about that inclusion. You know, they just want to be part of the convo. They want to feel like they're adding value. So I think that there's a bit of that, and bringing them in and making them obviously feel seen and heard. But I think at the same time, you know, if they are communicated about the way you work, the values of the organization, the culture, and if that job clarity and expectations is set up front, absolutely, I think they should be held to account. And I think that that's so reasonable. But I think it really just does come down to understanding your people, because you could have two Gen Zs that operate completely different. So I think it's always important to ask the question and don't make assumptions.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we've got the people in between. So I'm 41, so I always forget what I am. I think I'm Gen X.
You're kind of on the cusp.
Yes.
So on the cusp of millennial / Gen Y and Gen X.
I'd rather call myself a Gen X for the purpose of of this. But I was at a conference, and it was interesting because it was talking about how, like, the Gen X is potentially the best option for a management position, because they're right in the middle. They've got that little balance where they can balance both, you know, Gen Zs and baby boomers, as opposed to the management position being run by a Gen Z or management being run by a baby boomer, which sort of makes sense to me. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So absolutely. I mean, so Gen X kind of comprise of the bulk of they're kind of at that 35% range of being in the workforce. And you're right. I mean, you have obviously lived experience of being brought up and raised amongst the boomers. So I think there's a higher level of empathy that you have for their working styles and understanding of where they come from. But then at the same time, you're also very much keeping abreast of what's coming and the Gen Z kind of attributes and all of that. So I think, you know, there's obviously, you know, the work experience that comes, but then also the wisdom that comes with the life experience and seeing. So obviously you have been part of the evolution of where internet was introduced. So, you know, so you have an appreciation for the before and the after. And an appreciation, I think, for the strength of what used to be. So I think there's that hybrid ability to work. So I think, you know, you're a bit more flexible as to whether, you know, you want to use email, SMS, or whether you want to do face-to-face. So the preferences aren't as strong with regards to communication, with regards to learning. There's a bit more of that kind of, I'd say, resilience as well. So, I mean, I would agree that, you know, probably the ideal management level at the moment, noting just the kind of appreciation for all generations.
Yeah. I was actually just speaking to my kids the other night because they were doing some homework and they, one of them had to read a book and he was saying, oh, it's so hard to, you know, to read a book. And he just, his attention's not there when reading it. And he goes, he just said that I could just download it off Netflix and watch the movie. And saying, oh gosh, you know, how easy is it these days? Now you don't have to read the book, you can just download
the movie. So true.
And we were talking about how, like, back in the day when we had encyclopedias, my mum and dad paid so much money for these things. And
yeah.
Maybe about 5 years ago that my mum was cleaning out the shed and she had to get rid of them and sell them. And she broke her heart that she had to sell these things. Cost her so much in a time she probably didn't have.
Yes.
And now she pretty much was selling them for like, or she wasn't even selling them. They were giveaway for fire starters, you know.
So I think that example just shows that, you know, what you've kind of been raised in and like seeing now the opposite extreme. I mean, I also had an encyclopedia in our house and it was our most treasured, you know, piece of furniture, if you like. And you know, with my 6-year-old, I'm trying to get her to start reading. And the other day I was getting frustrated and I said to Dad, oh gosh, she's just not applying herself when it comes to reading. And he said, oh, you know what? At the rate that generative AI is, you know, who knows if she even needs to. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, you know, you do question the role of institutions and everything. You know, we are entering a new revolution that is going to change the way we work, and you know, that's for a separate conversation. But you know, the AI revolution is real, so we need to be looking at how we're prepared for that, because they're saying it's the next big thing, like the internet. So yeah, so I think it's very, very interesting, and the way that the children of today are being raised and what they will see is going to be very different to what we're raised with.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's wonderful sponsor is Property Assist WA. Shannon and her team are really committed to assisting property managers' workload by assisting them with outsourcing services like routine inspections, final bond inspections, and property condition reports. Keep your property managers doing what they love and outsource the things they don't to a company that thrives on positive feedback and guarantees a premium personalised service with a smile. The vision of Property Assist WA is to make a difference to the quality and perception of property managers, enabling you to keep your clients happy whilst improving the efficiency of your staff.
Well, and also what they're going to be expecting in the workplace. And like that sort of, I guess, is just one reminder for managers that are listening, just as an idea that, you know, when you are training your team or doing something, that potentially a video training is that you know, maybe you record something yourself and you email it to the team for their training that week, as opposed to having them read something. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there as an idea, but they're little tiny tweaks that we can do within the business to help manage the generations, make training, you know, easier. Like even I know it sounds really silly, but even things like we have using Messenger chat. So Messenger chat or constant communication is really good for the younger generation as well. They seem to enjoy that, interact with it, and stay in touch with the team, as opposed to the old fashioned face-to-face meeting, which I don't personally do in our office. But it's just even those micro changes in a business. Think about, is the face-to-face meeting still relevant, or is, you know, a Messenger chat every single day a better option? So
yeah,
little things.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, these days we do question sometimes the relevance of some meetings, and, you know, there's always the question of that could have been an email, or that could have just been, you know, a chat. And so when we do think of it from a perspective of productivity and efficiency, I think there is so much that we can learn from the younger generations. But then again, they love to multitask, and they're known to have 5 different apps open at one time. And, you know, their brains are kind of wired in that way. Whereas, you know, the older generations do like to focus on one thing at a time and don't like to spread themselves thin or across. So, but yes, I think when the business case around efficiency and productivity comes in, it really helps bring people on the journey. But also I think it's development, right? Like, don't we all want to spend less time in meetings?
Yeah. Exactly. And I think another thing that's really important to mention here is that right now we're talking about the multi-generational workplace, but that also extends to our client database and the different generations that we're dealing with as clients, as tenants, and as landlords. So with the tenants that we're dealing with, and actually even landlords, where they're expecting that answer immediately, which is really burning us out quite a lot on the other end, and maybe it's burning out the older generation more than the younger generation, but understanding that these, you know, our clients who are in that generation that are expecting that quick response, that is affecting our workplace as well. So then that comes into that whole AI, which I know that we're going to be doing more together with that in the future. But that whole AI is something that we might want to take advantage of to help that immediate quick response that everyone is expecting these days.
Absolutely. And it's just great hearing you talk about the clientele, and it would be great to do some analysis on kind of even just the characteristics and attributes of, you know, tenants, landlords across those generations. But yes, service delivery, so that the nature of service delivery, regardless of the industry, is changing. And you're right, people are expecting responses instantly, because we are spoiled, right? If we need an answer, we just go on Google and we ask it. So that delayed gratification no longer is kind of there, and people do have options, right? So if they're not getting the service that they want, the loyalty isn't really there, and they'll kind of move on. So I think understanding the expectations, but even before doing that, even managing theirs and saying, look, you know, generally speaking, we should be back to you within 24 hours. You know, we've seen your email. But it's just about, I think, within all of the kind of tech, how do you still remain human? And how do you keep that connection with your client? Because I think we spoke about this earlier around, you know, this notion of, well, you know, if the relationship's built, then it kind of, it takes all the kind of policies and procedures and all that stuff kind of a bit out the door, and then the relationship is the most important thing. And there's discretion, I'd say, from both ends when you've built that solid relationship.
How do you keep the relationship going? Simple answer you can give me to...
Well, I would say prioritize it. I would say that the relationship would probably be the biggest thing that you need to invest in. And that is, and I know everyone's time poor, I know, but it is the niceties. It's so whilst service delivery is becoming more automated, community expectations that their services will be more personalized. So there's that kind of, well, yeah, the computer can give me these answers, but what they're craving then is that empathy. They're craving that kind of more bespoke, tailored type of service delivery, right? Because the robots can do all the other, you know, mundane and that kind of stuff. So I think, how can you kind of prioritize, you know, going out for a coffee or really just kind of personalizing even the comms or the emails? You know, I personally, you know, have a real estate agency managing my property back in Canberra, and just the way that their comms is so personalized, you know, I feel special. And you know that they're probably sending it to the whole mailing list, but when you receive it, you feel like it's written for you. So little kind of ways that you can, you know, make them feel like they're special, I guess.
Yeah, so then that would be, I guess it's sort of using AI smartly, isn't it? And using it in the background for definitely just task stuff, which ideally should then allow you to have the time to have that personal human connection. And I think that's what, you know, when AI and all, and, you know, even VAs, for example, if I use them as an example, people used to always say, you know, they're taking our jobs, AI is taking our job. It actually shouldn't be seen that way. It's not taking our job. It's making our job easier so that we can then have those human connections and have the time to do that. That might be sort of the best way for people to understand how they can benefit from it, but not let it replace our job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and then, yes, that's right. It is to free up our capacity to be able to create more of that human connection and provide more of that value add, if you like, in that exchange of service.
It's such a demanding world, isn't it? Like, to get my head around it, to think, okay, so you want a response within 2 hours or 1 hour or 5 minutes, plus you also want to still have that human connection. Plus,
I know.
It's like, what more could you take from me?
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to really stay on top of it and or catch your breath. And I think that does come down to just the choice, the amount of choice and the accessibility around is so kind of abundant that people don't really have that loyalty, which is a shame. But I think generally speaking, the commonalities across the groups, there are commonalities across the groups. And I think it's important to call that out. So, you know, across all five generations, you know, they all still care about competitive pay and benefits, right? Whilst, you know, pay is not as important for some people, let's be real. Inflation is a thing. Interest rates are going up. And some people are regrettably leaving jobs and going to other jobs because it's better pay, because they've got mortgages to pay. So I think that's one thing that's consistent. After COVID, people do care about flexible and remote work. That's a thing. And being able to work in their own time and you know, flexibly, career advancement, everyone kind of would love a bit of, you know, progression and investment and that kind of stuff. So I think that's important. And then I guess if you look at your clients and if you just look at the service delivery, I guess, offer, you know, people want to trust their property managers or, you know, their person. People want timely feedback. People want quality services. So I think, you know, if you focus on what it is that all generations want, then that way you can actually create some boundaries and kind of be a bit more kind of firmer in how you kind of manage expectations. And I don't want to say push back, because you're not pushing back, but you're saying, this is our service offer. These are our general, you know, turnaround times. We will try to get back as soon as we can, but, you know, and that way I think you're kind of you're kind of protecting your people from the burnout.
Yeah. Absolutely, which is something, it's a real focus point. That was such a wonderful chat with you. I love this topic and I hope everyone that listened to it loved it too. And I know that you and I will do some more together with one that is a member of the PM Club. We are going to be doing a webinar and then hopefully we'll have some in-person events coming up soon regarding these topics, which I know everyone is going to love. So if anyone wants to reach out to you, I will have your details on the show notes as well. And I would encourage everyone to get in touch with Marjane's to have a look at what she can offer your workplace as well. And it might be something there beneficial for you to explore. And I love the way that you've said not to make assumptions. And I think we really just need to be better educated with this topic. And the more we educate ourselves with it, the better it will be, or the easier our lives will be, because we'll have a better understanding. So thank you for all your knowledge on the topic. And please reach out to Marjane if you need her, and keep an eye out for some more work that we will do together as well on this topic, plus AI and some really exciting stuff as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tap Plumbing and Gas covers all Perth areas from Mandurah to Turocks and has a team of plumbing, drainage and hot water experts. They have an amazing reputation for their excellent service and quality workmanship on time, every time, and it is easy to see why they are a favourite to many Perth property managers. Whether you just need some friendly advice or an obligation-free quote, look no further than On Tap Plumbing and Gas.